up, you're welcome to do that, and you'll be able to take notes on that as well. I'll go through the outline, though, in just a moment. It's very simple indeed. We've been speaking over these last few weeks about God's means of grace. So we understand that God has poured out upon us the spiritual blessings of Jesus Christ, from the forgiveness of our sins through justification, glory, hope, and every good thing. And he has withheld nothing from us in the spiritual realms. But how do we grasp hold of those blessings? The answer is by faith alone. And how are we to grow in faith? How are we to receive faith? Well, God has provided for us his means of grace. His means of grace. And we've been speaking together about how, as we live in this life, in this physical world, before we are raised to be with Christ and see him face to face, we have been given the means of grace, first of all, the scriptures, the Bible, prayer by which we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given fellowship, that is, we walk the Christian path, if you like, together, not alone. And then finally today, we're going to be thinking about service. Now, service is different to the other three things that we've been speaking about. For the scriptures, prayer, and fellowship are God's means of grace, which he gives to us. Whereas service is God's means of grace, which he gives through us to others and to one another. You see the difference. God gives his means of grace to us, for example, in the scripture, but it is through our service of one another that his means of grace comes to us. So we're going to be thinking about service today. We're going to be thinking about service because of Jesus. We're going to be thinking about service of Jesus, and we're going to be thinking about service in Jesus, those three headings. Now, service was not seen as a noble thing in the Greek and Roman culture of the first century. You might serve a cause, such as the empire. You might serve a god or a temple. These were things that were seen as good and noble. But to serve a master would put you in a lower category of humanity. And the idea that you would serve other people was not something which was held in high esteem whatever. In our 21st century Western culture, we have built that culture on Christian foundations over the last two millennia. So we talk about public servants, or we talk about the public service. And this is vocabulary that comes out of the Christian way of thinking. But people are increasingly, I think, far too narcissistic to contemplate the service of others as a higher good. And we have been hearing, and we'll hear a little bit more about France, where Christian thinking has been put into the background and secular thinking has taken the foreground. People think more and more that service is something that you relegate to others and that it's not something that they need to take up. People are increasingly filling their phones with selfies, and their best evening is one where everyone listens attentively to them. That's narcissistic. For disciples of Jesus, on the other hand, it's all about serving the other. For disciples of Jesus, it's all about serving the other. Philippians 2, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, this is founded on Jesus himself. Service is intrinsic to the character of God, and it's out of this character of God, the love of God for others, the service of others, that the gospel comes to us. This is God's rescue plan for us. And so Jesus spoke in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, and he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the nature of God. And this then is our model and example. And Jesus made this quite explicit, for example, in John chapter 13 and verse 2. Listen to this. During supper, Jesus laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. You know this story, I think. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. When he'd finished washing their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. You're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Now, the same thing gets expressed again and again through the New Testament. Philippians chapter 2 again. "Have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a man and giving himself up he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death on a cross." Now, this is fundamental to the gospel and therefore fundamental to Christian living. The very next word in Philippians chapter 2 is therefore. So because he humbled himself, therefore, because he served, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. It's the nature of what we call eschatology, that is the way we think of history and the way that things are going to end, that is that humble service in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will lead to exaltation. And so, as it was for Jesus, so also for us. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks." Now, this is a description of Christian living. How are we to live? We're to live expectantly, waiting for the master, that is Jesus, to return. Then it says, "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them." Now, that's an extraordinary statement, isn't it? That the master in the heavenly realms would come and serve those who have served him. And so what you're seeing here is a glance of the very character of God. Friends, this is our gospel. It is a gospel of God serving us, which is it's an extraordinary thing that we're contemplating here. It's in the very character and the nature of God. It's in his love. And this character, this nature, must be reflected in our hearts and in our lives. And as it's reflected in our hearts and lives, so we become like Christ, and we also will be exalted with him. This is the very heart of Jesus' death and resurrection for us, so that we can also be with him. Why do we serve, friends? It's the character of God. The gospel is God's divine service for us. We serve because of Jesus. And that is the point of this first section that I'm speaking to you. We serve because of Jesus. Service is the outworking of the divine love given to us. Now, the second point I want to make of these three is this. If we serve because of Jesus, then we also serve Jesus himself. That is, when we serve, whether it is our spouse, our children, parents, church, brothers, sisters, someone outside, we actually are serving Jesus himself. And ultimately, it is Jesus whom we serve in all of our serving. Even an apostle, such as the Apostle Paul, is only an apostle in order to serve, and he is first of all a servant. So the very first verse in the letter of Paul to the Romans starts this way: Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. Which one is first? Well, the first thing is he's a servant of Christ Jesus. In what capacity does he serve? He serves as an apostle. And so it is with us. First of all, we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we think about whatever capacity we may also serve in. We serve for Jesus' sake, and we serve him. Now, my next reading is actually fairly long, but I think it's a really important one, and so I'm going to read it to you. It comes from Matthew 25 and verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So this is image of judgment. What are we thinking about? We're thinking about who we serve when we serve. He will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, my sisters, you did it to me. You see, now this is not talking about good works in order to score points. This is talking about serving Jesus, who has given his life in service of us, out of our faith and our trust in him. As we serve one another, who is it that we're truly serving? In the end, we serve Jesus. Now, the really scary thing about this passage is the words that follow. Because if we fail to serve others, then we fail to serve Jesus. So the passage goes on, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You see, we are called into a life of service, and that service is the demonstration of our faith. If there is no service, then what does it say about our faith? Service is an essential. It's part of Christian living because it reflects the very character of God. We serve because of Jesus, and when we serve, it is Jesus who we are serving. Now, you can talk about serving the gospel, serving mission, serving the church, serving brothers and sisters, or serving others. But ultimately, there is only one whom we are serving, In the end, it is Jesus that we are serving. And that must determine how we serve. It must glorify Jesus. If it's him we serve, then it must bring glory to him. It's all very well to serve the RSPCA and rescue cats or volunteer to help in the local library. But if you haven't worked out how that is going to glorify Jesus, then you're not serving Jesus. Again, I say, it's not just a matter of doing good things to score points or because you think you want to do good stuff. That's not what it's about. In the end, it's about serving Jesus. On the other hand, if you can volunteer in the local library and read the Narnia stories of C.S. Lewis to the kids in the story room, well, that could be a wonderful service to Jesus, could it not? But you see, that's thought through clearly as to how am I serving Jesus ultimately in what I'm doing. 1 Peter 4:7 was read to us just a few minutes ago. The end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Now, I want to take a little diversion here. I'll come back to this issue of serving, but just stick with me for a quick moment. Think about what that is saying. Be self-controlled and sober-minded. Why? For the sake of your prayers. Do you remember 2 weeks ago we were talking about prayer and how we were saying that prayer is a means of grace? We talked from James about how the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Here you've got the same thing. Be sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. In other words, put off sin, fast from sin, as it were, for the sake of your prayers being heard by the Lord. Back on track now with service. You still with me? All right, we're back on track with service. When we serve, we're serving Jesus ultimately. Now, this passage comes through and says, love one another earnestly. Love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality. Each one has a gift. Use it to serve one another and so forth. And ends in this way, in order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The objective is we serve Jesus and that we glorify God in that service. So, we serve because of Jesus, we serve Jesus himself, and then the final point is this, where do we serve? And in the end, we serve in Jesus. All right? We serve in Jesus, and of course that means in and among Jesus' people. Finally, where do we serve in Jesus? In the fellowship of Jesus' people, that is the body of Christ. Every service that is truly the service of Jesus is going to be an outworking of the divine fellowship. Every service will find its meaning in the unity of the body of Christ in one way or another, whether it's physical or spiritual, and service can be either, can't it? In a few minutes, we're going to go out and enjoy morning tea together, and there are good folk, Christian folk, who are seeking to serve you, their brothers and sisters, by providing that refreshment so that you can have conversations and talk with one another and walk together down the road of the Christian faith. That's a physical service. Other services might be spiritual, that is prayer with one another, discipleship and so forth. They are both service, whether physical or spiritual, but they will be ultimately for the sake of the church because the church is intrinsic to the divine mission of Jesus Christ. Eventually, Jesus' mission is to bring about the eternal church, the eternal gathering of God's people. That's the destination and that's the road that we are on as a church here on earth. Now, sometimes the link to the body of Christ is obvious. Like when we use the gifts that God has given us for the service of God's people gathered together and around us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry and for building up the church until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, that is Christ. As we use the gifts that God has given to each one of us, that is the objective as a church. But sometimes the link to the church and the link to the fellowship of God's people is not quite as clear. So let me give an illustration of that. Think about your work for a moment. Suppose you are working outside of the home. Some people work in the home, and I'm well aware of that. But supposing you work, let's say, for an IT company, or you're a metal worker, or a nurse, or a teacher, or a barista. We serve Jesus in our work environment by serving our employer with honesty and diligence and a clear conscience, with respect and care. And that honours Jesus Christ, because we also carry the name of Jesus with us, do we not, wherever we go. They know that we are believers because we've not been ashamed to own the name of Jesus in our work situation. And in this way, they may, in God's providential grace, be drawn into God's eternal gathering, his church, and find fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and through you. They at least have the opportunity to ask you, what is this hope that is within you? And in that way, your diligence and respect in the work situation is an outworking of the divine fellowship which you share in the body of Christ. Now, in the eternal kingdom, there will be no baristas, no accountants or lawyers. There won't even be clergy. Maybe there'll be baristas. But Jesus' church is eternal, and all our serving is to serve the eternal church. So all the other stuff just falls away. What does not fall away is your witness and testimony to Jesus Christ, which brings glory to God. You see, all our serving in the end is an outworking of the divine fellowship that we share in Jesus Christ and then with one another. So friends, this now concludes this short series of four on the means of grace. God offers us his eternal love, forgiveness by Jesus' blood, justification through his resurrection, adoption as the children of God, life and spirit and hope, the list goes on. How can we grasp hold of these things? Through faith, that is through trust in Jesus, and no other way, nothing else. How does God expect us to find faith in a physical world, in a world where we live in the flesh? How does God expect us to find that faith? And the answer is by the means of grace. Sometimes we talk about it as spiritual disciplines. That is, by God's word, the Bible, by reading it, reflecting on it, by hearing it, talking about it, by prayer and making prayer a priority, perhaps through fasting, through fellowship as we walk in this pathway, not alone, but together. Knowing and being known, and friends through service of one another. But we must make use of what God has given to us. You see, sometimes believers are like someone who has fallen overboard from a very large vessel. All around them, there are buoys and boards, and even rescue boats that they could use, but they ignore them and try to swim alone, way out there in the middle of the ocean. And as they do, the current draws them further and further away. That's a sad thing. And you've probably seen that happen. I've certainly seen it happen. where people just ignore the means of grace that God has given them and wonder why they're no longer Christian. Or they don't even realize that they're no longer Christian. God has given us all that we need to live. We ignore his gifts, his good gifts to us. We ignore his means of grace at our own peril. Scripture, prayer, fellowship, service. Service is always because of Jesus. Service is always for Jesus. And service is in Jesus according to his eternal purposes for his church. Service is the expression of our fellowship with Jesus and one another. Ultimately, humble service, using whatever gift God may have given to you, enables us to have this great privilege that we should become God's means of grace for those around about us, so that we could see them come to faith, grow in faith, and grasp hold of the spiritual blessings that are available to them in Christ Jesus. And so, friends, to be like God in character. For our God is the one who stooped very low to serve us. The application is very, very simple, friends, is it not? What is God's particular gift to you to enable you to serve Jesus? Can you explore some possibilities? Are you a member of a growth group, for example, and how can you serve people in your growth group? If you want to talk to one of the pastors about how could you serve and use the gifts that God has given you, what are those gifts? Then we would love to talk to you. But friends, I know that so many of us are actually serving already and have been serving very often for many, many years. And it can get tiring, can't it? We can grow tired of service. And so the next application is don't grow tired. If you need refreshment, if you need time, take it. But don't get tired of serving, because that service is the very reflection of God's own character within you, through his Holy Spirit. Serve, friends, with joy. And what is the joy? The joy is knowing that you are becoming and you are God's means of grace to others. This is how God encourages them to continue to walk in Christ and to faith. Serve with joy, because in that service you reflect the very character of God himself in humble service. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful means of grace that you have given to us in order that we might grow in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the scriptures, your word to us, for prayer, where we have the privilege of coming before you and having you answer our requests. Father, we thank you for fellowship, that we have this experience of knowing and being known, which is a need that you've put deep within us because it's a reflection of your own being in Trinity. Father, we thank you for the opportunities that we have to serve and so to both reflect your character and become means of grace to one another. Help us to serve with sincerity. Help us to be sober-minded as we assess the various gifts that you have distributed amongst us and given to each one of us. And Father, please help us to serve in accordance with the faith that you have given to us, that the body of Christ here may grow into Christ, our head and our Saviour, and that we might truly be a light in this city. We pray these things In Jesus' name, amen.